And our further readings from out of God's Word will be from the Gospel of John, chapter 6. John's Gospel, chapter 6, and we begin at verse 60. Verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What? And if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father." And from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" And he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. So far the readings.
Congregation, our text for this morning hour, on which we briefly want to meditate, is from Matthew 16, verse 16. Matthew 16, verse 16. There we read the word of God in our text. "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." We listen to the confession of Simon Peter, and he speaks of Christ as prophet, priest, and king. The confession of Simon Peter speaks of Christ as prophet, priest, and king. "Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God." In a few words, much is said. Thou, Jesus, art the Christ. Christ is Greek for Messiah in the Hebrew. In English, it means the anointed. It speaks of Christ in his offices as prophet, priest, and king. It's a confession about Christ as a willing and an able Savior. Now he's not appointed by his disciples to be the Christ. Christ's honor and glory is not on behalf of man. He was anointed by the Father. The Father appointed his beloved Son to be the Christ. When on earth no one could be found anymore to fulfill his office and duty to the honor and the glory of God. When our deep fall in Adam had become a reality, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, see, congregation, what God has done. Then God made his beloved Son his servant. God made him a true Christ, the anointed one who would give honor and glory to the Father. He was set up. He was anointed from everlasting, from the beginning of even the earth was. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit, without measure. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him, because the Lord has anointed him. That's what Peter and the disciples confess. That Jesus is the Christ, the anointed by the Father. Such a rich confession that he is the Son of God. The Christ, that chief prophet, that only high priest, that eternal king. That everything in the Christ speaks of his priestly mercy, of his royal rule, of his prophetic teaching. Thou art Christ. The entire Christ. The prophet, the priest, the king. And although Peter and the other disciples still had to learn many lessons, like is shown in verses 22 and 23, they were still ignorant of so many things concerning the Christ. Yet they received so much light in their hearts that they were persuaded, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the Living God. That he is qualified and able and willing. That he is that only Savior. That's the confession of Peter and the disciples. Thou art the Christ, Son of God. That prophet, that priest, and that king. What is Christ for you? What is in your heart this morning after a week of preparation when this question comes to us? What dost thou say that I am? Do you know him as that chief prophet? Christ as the prophet. He will teach us the truth. The truth about God. The truth about ourselves. Christ in his prophetic administration. He will teach us the truth from Scripture. And he will open our eyes. And he will show that we are unclean by ourselves. That we have no righteousness. That we only have, so to say, filthy rags. That we come short of the glory of God. That we transgressed against all God's commandments. Then sin becomes a burden. Christ is teaching us how great our sins and our miseries are. And then we can no longer uphold ourselves. Then we begin to see that we have sinned against a holy and a righteous God. And that concern begins to fill your heart and your life. Christ, as that great prophet, he not only uses the law to teach us how great our sins and miseries are. He uses law and gospel. Like Spurgeon says so beautiful, Jesus has two hands. The one hand is the law. The other hand is the gospel. And he always uses those two hands to teach us, to instruct us, to lead us. Not only the law, but also the gospel. And the gospel shows us those precious truths about God's kindness, about God's mercy. And that gives such an impression that you begin to lift up your broken heart, that you begin to bring your needs unto him. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Christ, as that one and only prophet. He shows unto us the truth of that faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. O Christ, as that precious prophet, he has a tongue of the learned, and he knows how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He is such a patient prophet, so meek and understanding. He answers all our needs, and he instructs us despite our ignorance. Oh, how precious is the Christ, the Son of God, the Anointed One, as that great prophet. Unforgettable congregation to sit at his feet and to be taught by this prophet. But he is more than prophet alone. He is also a priest. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, not only prophet who teaches us the truth, but he is also that one and only high priest. And we think of Christ as that one and only high priest, then it's about his sacrifice, about his broken body, his shed blood. For by his offering, he obtained full salvation. And with his blood, he gave full satisfaction for all the sins of his people. He acquired the peace with God, the forgiveness of sins, and eternal life. When his blessed body was nailed to the cross, when he shed his precious blood, the way of salvation was opened, even for the chiefest of sinners. We have to understand that priestly administration of Christ in the light of God's holiness, in the light of God's righteousness, we have to consider that the wrath of God against sin is so great that rather than should it go unpunished, he has punished the same in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with a bitter and shameful death of the cross. He is that one and only high priest. And because of the justice and the truth of God, satisfaction for our sins could be made no otherwise than by the death of the Son of God. Under the Old Testament administration, there had been so many offerings, so many priests, so many sacrifices. But it all waited for this one and only high priest, for this offering of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to ensure that full satisfaction, because God's justice had to be satisfied. What a high priest is this Son of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Through his blood, there is forgiveness, healing, and new life. Sin can only be satisfied through this mediator, That's also a lesson that we have to learn. That we come short of the glory of God. That our tears and that our improvements, or whatever that we can bring up by ourselves or try to bring up by ourselves, that we can never satisfy those demands of a holy and a righteous God, that we stand in need of that Savior and His precious blood, that we cannot take away the anger of God because of our sins and our iniquities. When we begin to understand that, congregation, then that hunger and that thirst after righteousness will be a reality in our lives. Give me Jesus or I die. Do you understand that need for that one and only high priest and his offering and his precious blood? But Christ, as that precious high priest, it's not only about his blood and about his offering. But Christ, as that one and only high priest, makes us also to remember him at the right hand of the Father, making intercession in that sanctuary not made with hands. For he liveth forever to intercede for his people. He is their advocate. Not only an advocate of intercession, but also an advocate of reconciliation. And he pleads for our cause. And his pleading will be successful in heaven. For his pleading is a demanding. Because there is power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His pleading at the right hand of the Father rests upon his full satisfaction. And thus he carries the 12 tribes of Israel upon his heart. And he is mindful of his people day and night. And as that great high priest, he wants to encourage. And therefore he says, do this in remembrance of me, so that faith may be strengthened and his name will be glorified. Oh, what a great comfort, congregation. The apostle says, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Thou art Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, that great prophet, that one and only high priest, but also that eternal King. And as King, the Lord Jesus Christ delivers and protects and rules his people. He's the King of the cross, the King of peace. He rules with pierced hands. And all that belong to this King, they are conquered enemies. But now they are no longer enemies. Because he conquered them with his love. They have now become friends. And his saving mercy shines in their hearts and in their lives. And because of him, we are made willing to follow him. And our resistance was taken away. Like the prophet says, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. Oh, the strength of his love makes the sinner willing to follow him. And you begin to bow down before him, and you lose the joy of the world, and sin begins to burden upon your heart. And like the psalmist says, your heart will also say, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. Have you become such a subject of this eternal King? Do you follow him? Do you obey him? Oh, he is such a faithful King. For again and again, he intercedes, making our cause his cause. He will never forsake the works of his own hands. As that eternal King, he delivers his people from Satan and world and sin. He protects them day and night. Oh, that's such a blessing. For Satan is embittered against God's people. Sin is such a strong enemy. And our flesh is so weak. And again we have to confess that indeed our flesh is so weak. And that enemy is so strong that we cannot stand the temptations of the sin, Satan, and the world. But thou art the Christ. Thou art the King, anointed by the Father. And without ceasing, he protects day and night, hour after hour, minute after minute. And he rules his people by his word and through his spirit. And he makes us to walk in his ways. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Thou art the Christ, the prophet, the priest, the King, the anointed by the Father. And this is the Christ congregation we have to remember this morning at his table. This prophet, this priest, this King, for he is our salvation. And as a prophet, he makes us to confess his holy name. He makes us to bring him the honor and the glory. For by his spirit, this one and only prophet will lead us in the truth. And by his spirit and by his truth, he also leads his people to his table. And as that one and only high priest, he makes us to rest in his offer and in his blood alone. And as that one and only high priest, he gives us to remember his love and his faithfulness. And he shows us his love and his faithfulness when we break the bread. And when we pour out the wine in the cup. And as that eternal King, he grants us the blessing to surrender unto him. To bow down unto his authority. and to proclaim His majesty and to have that one and only desire to be a subject of that King of Kings and that Lord of Lords, to live for Him and to die for Him. No longer to belong to yourself, but to belong to this Christ, the Son of God, that precious prophet, that precious priest, that precious King. Oh, how precious is this Christ, this prophet, for you that know yourself in your ignorance. That you understand so little of the truth of God and of yourself. Then you feel the need for this prophet. How precious is the Christ as that one and only high priest for you that begin to understand, I cannot pay the ransom. I cannot pay the price for my salvation. I stand guilty before God. I'm a sinner. I come short of the glory of God. I erred against all God's commandments. Oh, then there is that need for that one and only high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. How precious is Christ as that eternal King for you that struggle with your weakness, with the brokenness in your heart and in your life. Oh, then you need that King. You cannot protect yourself. You have no strength within. You want to lean on His strength. You need that King for your heart and for your soul. And so we adore Him. We have that need for Him. We love Him. Oh, congregation, what is in your heart this morning? God knows and you yourself know what is in your heart. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's not because flesh and blood revealed Him to our hearts. But blessed art Thou, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto us, but the Father which is in heaven. Amen.